20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into another Saturday meteorology edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am Matt Fralick. Alongside me once again is my friend Paul Brettel. Paul, unfortunately, Jason's missing out on us, and you know, I want to poke a little bit of fun that I've been on a few episodes, and all of a sudden he's just absolutely just left me. He has left me with you. Unfortunately, it's for something serious. Had a death in the family. He's not coming to visit us. He's not traveling for a wedding. So I imagine he'll be back next week, going into week 5 as we discuss the matchup versus Cincinnati Bengals. But it's okay. I have you. I have myself. We have some media, or excuse me, some weather updates. We have a lot to get to as far as the injury front and previewing the week 4 matchup versus the Pittsburgh Steelers in Lambeau Field. Paul, hell of a week. It was pretty solid. Unfortunately, we got some bad news come Friday, but overall, how was your week?
It was good. And but like you said, until we hear about the Friday news dump in the NFL and the Green Bay Packers were active participants in that, unfortunately, it was all injury related.
It seemed to become a common theme, though, too. Like the last couple of weeks, I feel like every week we're just someone banged up here, banged up there. I mean, I don't want to say there are any, like, every single one of them has been an absolute superstar. This week kind of seems that way a little bit more, but no one really on, like, the low end of the roster. So it's been a lot of impact for the Packers. We'll see how they deal with it going into week 4, as I mentioned. But, Paul, we know what people are coming for. Some people said they skip through this and they scrub through this. Thankfully, the podcast apps let you just tap, tap, tap. But if you really want to get the weather info, that's why you listen to the Saturday Pack-A-Day Podcast crew. Paul, I'm going to start here, if you don't mind. We got another one coming in from our buddy Harry. You know, like, Harry's the guy. And like I told you before recording, I'm going to have to – if Harry's going to be a staple in this, I really got to make him feel at home here. I'm going to come up with some facts, if you will, about Kamloops, Canada. It is in British Columbia. I found that out, which province. But what I really like – I think I said the first episode when Jason announced it where this guy was from, like, where is Kamloops, Canada? I wonder how many people are there. Well, I finally took the time a couple weeks later, actually figured out it's almost 100,000 people, or is estimated in 2019. So like you said before we recorded, right around the same size as Green Bay, Wisconsin. But our man Harry says, beautiful sunny day while he picks apples and mows the lawn. This is on Friday. Saturday, increasingly cloudiness, high of 64, low of 46. And he says, does anyone know where Adam Stenovich has a bar tab that someone could buy him some drinks after last Sunday's performance? I know our friends at Game On Wisconsin with Lombardi's Bar, they could probably accompany that. I don't know where Adam Stenovich hangs out. I could guess maybe it's Lenny's Tap. We saw them preview on Monday Night Football, that little segment. Maybe he just goes right across the street at Kroll's, maybe to Stadium View. I'm not sure where Adam Stenovich find or is his saloon is at, Harry. But if I find that scuttlebutt, which isn't too tough in Green Bay, I will surely pass that along to you. Paul, you have another distant weather report. Where is yours from and what is the weather looking like there?
So I got a message from Robin Erickson. He's from southeastern Norway, rural Norway, about an hour's drive from Oslo. He says it's been rain for 5 straight days. Temperatures are in the 50s, that's Fahrenheit, so about 10 degrees Celsius, he says. And it's fall there, just as it is here stateside. And he's been digging ditches to keep their local gravel roads from going under, from disappearing from all the rain. So stay dry out there, Robin. Hopefully that clears up for you.
Sounds like Robin could accompany Adam Stenovich at that bar just to have another, maybe something at the end of a long day. That sounds miserable. So hopefully this Pack-A-Day podcast is giving you some joy. Hopefully the Packers can pull out a win as well for you, Robin. We appreciate you listening, supporting, you know, a little icy hot on the back, maybe relax, make sure you're staying limber out there. We got to talk about the Packers though. We have weather here coming on Sunday. Obviously it looks like right now, I've been following this all week, Paul, we got some rain in the forecast. Saturday rain. I heard maybe now it's Sunday into maybe early Sunday morning. I don't like the thought of the Packers playing versus the Steelers in the rain. I know the Steelers haven't been too good on offense, but I feel like they can rely on this offensive line and this run game a little bit. However, looking at what they've done this far this year, that's not the case. They've gotten definitely away from those days of Le'Veon Bell, Rashard Mendenhall, whatever running back they've been able to fit in there and run the ball a little bit. It's basically now on the hands and the shoulders of Ben Roethlisberger, who threw the ball frickin' 53 times last week. So let's look at the weather here on Sunday. It is a 3:25 start. So like I said, that early morning weather should probably clear up when we want it to. It won't be as too sloppy. Morning 66, afternoon 81, evening 66 degrees. I imagine it's going to be pretty dry come game time. Overall, if it becomes a sloppy game, are you concerned at all, Paul, if that does become an issue?
I think any time that there's weather elements involved, that it obviously can affect the game. So it's definitely something that we need to keep our eyes on. But, I mean, Pittsburgh, they're a northern team as well. They play in the cold, the rain, all that stuff. So if that does happen, we'll see a team that's likely accustomed to it. You know, unlike the Detroit game, if you remember, it started to sprinkle or rain a little in that second half, and we saw that actually played a role in Jared Goff fumbling the ball. You know, Jared Goff coming from the LA Rams, now with the Lions who play indoors. So it absolutely can have an effect on the game, but I think these two teams, if it's just rain, I think the real big one that can really wreak havoc that we don't see a lot or talk about is actually wind. And we saw it last year when the Vikings came to Green Bay and actually won that game. But if it's just some rain, I think both these teams will be able to handle it.
100%. It looks like even the rain's going to pick up later on Sunday. And obviously we're a few days out, so that could change. So it looks like we have a good gap there in between. You mentioned the wind, middle of the day, 13 miles an hour. As it gets later in the day, under 10 miles an hour wind. So I think it's going to be it could be potentially a sloppy game. But I think in that middle of that afternoon, that 3:25 central start, they should be sitting pretty with somewhat overcast, but maybe not too much precipitation coming down. But enough of the weather talk. You guys can unskip ahead and actually start listening to what we got with Packers related news. As Paul mentioned, got some news dump on Friday, unfortunately. Around, I want to say it was about 1 o'clock, 1:30, the reports came out that Za'Darius Smith, that back injury is a lot worse than we thought, and he is going under the knife, unfortunately. You hate to see that. He's going to have back surgery on that back, and what we thought was maybe a minor tweak early August, mid-August, has now turned into surgery, which tells you the extent of where that injury is. I think I saw some reactions on Twitter, Paul. I don't know if you saw the same, of people saying, why didn't he take care of this right away? Why didn't he go under have surgery right away? And it's like, well, if you don't have to have surgery on your back, especially in, where we are with modern medicine, and I'm sure what the Packers have to their disposal, you probably were trying to get away with some alternative, orthoscopic or some sort of laser treatment. And it didn't work. I'm sure he tried everything under the sun, from everything that's, legal, obviously, within, I don't know if they can use CBD or if he's got the chiropractor or maybe a medicine ball he's rolling on, but none of that worked. Unfortunately, Za'Darius goes under the knife, and it doesn't sound too good, Paul. You said you saw Bill Huber had spoke about that and said, this might be even worse than what the Packers are sugarcoating it as.
Yeah, so I mean, we saw all the tweets. Mike Garofalo, Ian Rapoport, both of NFL Network, mentioned that, the hope, and I'm sure that is the hope, is that get the surgery done with, hopefully Z can return for late season or maybe the playoffs, hopefully what ends up being a playoff push for the Green Bay Packers. But Bill Huber of Sports Illustrated had an article out where he said a source of his confirmed that Smith underwent the back surgery, and that it's a hope at this point that he can return, but apparently the source said that that's not the expectation. So there is the very real possibility, folks, that Za'Darius Smith has played his final snaps as a Green Bay Packer, because if we look ahead to the 2022 season, he comes with a cap hit of over $28 million. So regardless of what his back is like, or if he had played this season and had a monster year, the Packers were never going to allow him to play on his current contract, because they weren't going to play with a $28 million cap hit. They were either going to extend him, which would lower the cap hit, add years to his contract, or they were going to have to cut him or trade him. Well, now that extension option, obviously it looks a lot less likely at this point, from where we're standing. Things can change, you never know, as they say, anything can happen, but looks a lot less likely at this point, just because of the back injury, as well as the money that's owed to him. So he very well could have played his last snaps as a Green Bay Packer. And we talked about it the first episode when Za'Darius Smith first went to IR, that you never know with back injuries, man. They can be even something that may seem minor, and maybe that's what this started out as, you know, because they held him out of practice throughout training camp. He even played week one. It was limited, but they still tried to get him to play. Even something that can start out as minor, backs are so, so tricky that you never truly know what it might turn into, and this might have turned into, you know, potentially a season ender, or at least, you know, it sounds like Z's going to miss a majority of the season at a minimum.
Yeah, it's pretty unfortunate. Za'Darius Smith, you know, one of three players in the NFL to register at least 12 or more sacks in each of the last two seasons, others being Aaron Donald and someone that'll be at Lambeau, TJ Watt, this weekend. So it sucks to see that. I can't even fathom this, us just not seeing Za'Darius Smith in a jersey again. And I kind of, you know, have to eat crow a little bit thinking that maybe this offseason they could have got rid of Preston Smith, but thankfully he's kind of came around a little bit. And without Preston right now and Za'Darius shut down, they'd be in an absolute shitstorm of a front seven. So I'm glad that didn't happen. It's nice to have some depth that way. But as we go forward, man, I am pretty concerned. I think last week it might have been a little bit of an outlier versus the Niners. I think the pass rush looked really, really good. If they can continue that without Z, that would be great. But you're still asking a lot of young guys in the inside. And we talk about this every week, guys that are just like, you know, not really just all that superstars. We talked about TJ Slayton last week, give him some snaps. Jack Heflin, he's questionable for this week. So it would be nice to see some of these younger guys get an opportunity. Unfortunately, they're not really outside exterior guys. And Za'Darius was able to play both. Rayshon Gary can kind of do some of the same. And you hope they're able to figure it out as it proceeds. But those spell snaps and those situational downs where maybe Z was better, or Rayshon was better, or Preston was better at certain things with their skill set, you don't really have that luxury anymore. You have to put those guys on the field more often. And if you don't, and they're only playing two snaps on a four down situation, like, well, then I don't really know what that gives you, because that turns into a Chauncey Rivers, that turns into some backups that you really don't want to see on the field. So unfortunate. Hopefully Z can get back sooner than later. It seems doubtful that he would be back this year. There's been no definitive thing saying that, so take it for a grain of salt, but it doesn't seem very promising if you're going under the knife that you'd be back in the next 2.5-3 months at full strength. So it would make more sense probably to shut him down. And I think that might dictate, Paul, if he plays this year, what the long-term situation is with the Green Bay Packers and Za'Darius Smith. If he shows up in 2022, if they had shut him down the full year and they're going to work on a contract, maybe get him at a cheaper deal. We'll see what happens with that as we progress. But it's really unfortunate that they're just having another injury in the trenches for them. Now,
sure.
Yeah, now we look at Kevin King. We look at MVS. Kevin King, more than likely, he's doubtful for the game. I don't really foresee him playing. I just think the way Eric Stokes has played, Shannon Sullivan's able to play as well. Those concussions are very, very dicey. I don't see him on the field. But the one I did overpass here was MVS, who had been nursing the hamstring. He is officially out for Sunday's game, which I think is somewhat concerning. The stat sheet would tell you probably otherwise, but I think just the actual speed and straight line agility that MVS has really opens up a lot of stuff for Davante Adams and Robert Tonyan and company underneath. What do you think the impact of MVS being out is? Is it a few deep shots a game that they're going to be missing out on, Paul, or is it really come down to stuff you don't see in the box score, stuff that every single down he is either running a dude down the field and taking a safety with him, or is it Erickson, someone else filling this role?
Yeah, and MVS isn't just out Sunday. He's been placed on IR with that hamstring injury, so he's going to miss at least three games. That's the minimum a player has to be out. But you said it perfectly. Obviously, the easy thing is that we see what he provides to the passing game with those deep shots. He's second on the team in targets this season behind Davante Adams, so Aaron Rodgers has been looking his direction. I think I saw Zach Cruz of Packers Wire tweet out that MVS is tied with the NFL lead for most, or he's either in the lead, he's up there in terms of targets of 20 yards or more. He has 8 of them. The rest of the Packers team combined has 8 of them. So obviously that's a big element that's missing, but you already mentioned it as well. It's what he put that speed of his, that 4.37 speed, opens up for the other pass catchers in the passing game. There isn't another receiver on this roster who can bring this exact deep threat speed element that MVS can. Now, of course, they have other big play threats. Davante Adams, we've seen Lazard hit downfield. Robert Tonyan as well. I don't mean to say that there aren't any big play threats on this team anymore. Of course there are. But they don't bring that same dynamic speed ability that MVS does. And defenses respect that. They pay attention to where MVS is and where he's going, and that can absolutely open things up for his teammates. But another aspect, he's a pretty good run blocker as well. You look at any of those runs that get to the outside, those wide receiver screens that are to his side of the field, him and Alan Lazard, they are usually there holding their own very well in that, as Matt LaFleur calls it, that goon role. So this is a big loss for the Green Bay Packers for the next couple of weeks, not just on the stat sheet, what we see with those deep ball attempts, but what he creates for his teammates, as well as the blocking ability.
And I kind of overlook MVS sometimes as a run blocker. I know, like, mid-game, you'll be like, okay, you got a good block, but I always rely on, or I kind of gravitate towards Alan Lazard just because, you know, height and weight. He's just a bigger guy, and it seems like he's always establishing his dominance because he really doesn't bring a whole lot to the receiving game as MVS does. When that speed comes into play like MVS, it just kind of seems like he's a more dynamic player. But both of those guys, I mean, they can hold it down. Is there anyone that you can think that can supplement this role, or is it just going to kind of be a hodgepodge between Malik Taylor, Alan Lazard, a little Tonyanak? Is there anyone you can see kind of stepping up and taking some more of these snaps, or is it just going to be kind of cobbled together?
Yeah, I think it's going to be more relying on, you know, the group effort. Davante Adams is going to continue to get a ton of targets, I assume. Robert Tonyan, Aaron Jones, they've also been targeted the third and fourth most on this team behind Adams and MVS. So those are the guys that make this offense go in terms of the run game and the pass game. So they're still going to be the focal points. However, we may see more opportunities for Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard. I believe they each have four targets, five targets this season. So their roles might increase as well. We might see a little more Malik Taylor. I imagine Equanimeous St. Brown is going to be called up off the practice squad during MVS absence. So it's going to be a group effort, but still Aaron Rodgers, this offense, they're going to rely on Aaron Jones, Tonyan, and Davante Adams when it comes to the passing game for the most part.
And one last final thought on there. I think I'm kind of agreeance with you. I think EQ being brought up is something to pay attention to. I think back to the press conference after the game that Aaron Rodgers spoke about, just trying to get Randall Cobb more involved. I don't know if that's a, you know, personal endeavor that he wants, or if that's actually a schematical thing that they're trying to do in that offense. So maybe he'll get a couple more snaps that way. Obviously he has nowhere near the speed he once did and probably was never as fast as MVS would, but maybe that's another person to open things up or at least take stuff underneath. But the Packers offense will definitely be limited without MVS there. That is for sure. I think Tanyan's going to have a bigger role. I think, you know, these rookies like Kylan Hill or Amari Rodgers have to fill in somewhere. I don't think they're going to, you know, be able to be a plug and play guy, because that's not the case at all. I think Kylan Hill's been effective when he's gotten out there, and Amari Rodgers really hasn't gotten involved in the offense at all, to be honest, just returning punts for 2 yards or minus 2 yards. So we look still on the offensive side of the ball. Elton Jenkins still with that ankle. He's doubtful for the game. I'm more optimistic that Elton might play over Kevin King. Am I wrong for that thought, or should they just stick with Yosh Nijman, who was impressive this last week? And we have to admit, Paul, you and I were like, hey, maybe it's Dennis Kelly on right, Billy Turner on left. Maybe they flip-flop, do something like that. We were both wrong, and I think pleasantly surprised that Yosh Nijman stepped in. So do they go with Yosh again this week, or does Elton come back into the fold?
I'm going to guess that both Elton and Kevin King are out. Typically when guys do not participate any of the 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, rarely do you see them then in the game on Sunday. So I imagine both Jenkins and King are going to be out, which means we're going to see more of Yosh and more of Eric Stokes. And I know we're all excited to see more of Eric Stokes on the field. He does deserve at this point to be cornerback two, even if Kevin King is healthy and available. But what the Kevin King, you know, not playing, this already was a not very deep cornerback group. We know Chandon Sullivan's in the slot. Jair and Stokes are going to be out wide. But if there's an injury, or just in terms of if they need to get other guys on the field, Shamar John Charles, slot corner, rookie out of Appalachian State, I mean, he had a rough preseason. If he had to step in and play some slot snaps, I'd be a little bit nervous. Isaac Yadam, another cornerback, that the guy that they traded for when they got rid of Josh Jackson. You know, he struggled in coverage during his time in the NFL. This isn't a very deep cornerback group. So I know Kevin King's had his issues, obviously, but he's someone that you can put out there, someone who has NFL experience and someone that we've all seen, and it can be forgotten about, but someone that we have seen make plays. So the cornerback room in general just takes a hit. The depth does without King in there, even though I know we're all want to see more of Eric Stokes in that cornerback two role. And when it comes to Yash, I mean, man, credit to him. He did a fantastic job. And I tweeted this out. One of my favorite things from this past week was all the little stories you heard about Yash from his teammates. I know Devontae, Mercedes Lewis had some, Adam Stenovich, Matt LaFleur. There were all these little stories that came out about him from his teammates and coaches. And he's kind of been a mystery these last few years. We know who he was because of the athleticism we always heard about, the potential that he always has. But it was nice this week, obviously, getting to see him in action, but just to get a little peek behind the curtain of who he is as a person. And based on what we've heard, it sounds like he's just the nicest, most humble, just a terrific individual, a guy that you want on your team, absolutely, from that standpoint. So I thought that that was really cool to see. But against this Pittsburgh pass rush, we'll get to it here shortly, but T.J. Watt's going to play. Alex Highsmith is going to play. They have Melvin Ingram. They're another, you know, that's another strong pass rush group that the Green Bay Packers young offensive line is going to have to be up against. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a similar approach that they took against San Francisco. We read about it this week. We saw it during the game, having Lewis into Chip on Bosa, Robert Tonyan doing the same thing. Aaron Rodgers, he got the ball quick, man. Pro Football Focus, his average time to throw was 2.04 seconds. I think typically for the season, Rodgers has been around 2.5, 2.6. I mean, half a second, that doesn't sound like much, but that's a really long time in the NFL, especially for a pass rusher. And if a quarterback's getting the ball out at about the 2 second mark, it doesn't matter. I shouldn't say it doesn't matter, but rarely does it matter how quickly you beat your blocker, because it's almost nearly impossible to get to the quarterback in that amount of time. So I would expect more of the quick passing game, more chips to help out Yash and Billy Turner, because they are going to be up against another stout pass rush.
Hell yeah. And, you know, we were, I guess, you know, finding out more about Yosh this week was awesome. Definitely a gentle giant. Sounds like a big teddy bear dude. Like, I imagine he will have some opportunities again this week. It'll be interesting to see, too. And we all, you know, to our credit, though, we were completely wrong about who they'd play at left tackle. But we did say, hey, if they're going to win this game, they got to get the ball out quick. And statistically, he got it out very fast. I mean, that is extremely quick. And that half a second is quite a bit. So you mentioned the defense, right? T.J. Watt was a full go today at practice for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, Melvin Ingram was a guy they brought in this last offseason. They still have Casey Hayward. They have these big dudes in up front that can definitely cause some havoc. So do you is your expectation for them to go in and kind of that being the Green Bay Packers after like the second and third drive, what they did with this offensive line, kind of do more of the Mercedes Lewis chipping or tining? Or do you think they give Yosh an opportunity to say, hey, can he handle himself one-on-one? Because for me, I look at the front seven of the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Niners. I think they're both probably a top five front seven. I think they're really, really good athletically, especially off the edges. Do you think they even make that an opportunity for Yosh to prove himself? Or do they just say, you know, screw it, we're going to chip, we're going to see if we can get T.J. Watt or whoever else moving around? Or do you think they give it an opportunity for Yosh right away?
He'll see snaps on his own. He did against the Niners. They can't chip every player for the entire game, but we'll see what happens. But I imagine that he's still going to get his share of help. This is still only a second career start. T.J. Watt is an absolute game wrecker if given the opportunity, or he'll create the opportunity, I should say, to do just that. So I imagine there's going to be, you know, a similar treatment as they did with Bosa, as they're going to do to Watt, just to try to limit what he can do. So the chips, the quick passing game, and again, running the ball. We talked about that last week, that's, you know, you mitigate a pass rush, you find a way to run the ball successfully, because then you don't get the pass rush opportunities. And that's also just an important part to the overall success of this offense. As I mentioned last week, we saw against Detroit, we saw against San Francisco, how different this offense looks when Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon are getting 25 plus carries per game versus when this offense is one-dimensional. Even with Aaron Rodgers, this offense cannot be successful if they are one-dimensional like that. So run the ball, chip on a TJ Watt, quick passing game. I imagine it's going to be a similar formula to last week.
Hell yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think, like you said, you can't chip them every single time. But once they started doing that, you can see after the first drive or two where they started helping out, it made an immense difference in that game. So I hope that is still an option for the Packers. You look also still in that defense. Like we mentioned, TJ Watt is a full go. No real injuries on that defensive front other than, I guess, Carlos Davis is a backup D tackle. He's going to be out. So relatively healthy on the defensive side for them coming in. I think the Steelers defense is fantastic. I believe last week they broke their 75 game streak record of getting a sack in every game. Lo and behold, the Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow actually somehow didn't give up a sack, which is kind of shocking, especially after watching a Thursday night football game of what they had versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. So let's get to the offensive side of the ball for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chase Claypool is questionable, big receiver. They have also a offensive lineman, their starting offensive tackle, Chukwuma Okorafor. I thought I was going to get it. It's Okorafor. We're going to go with that. I think their edges suck. I think their tackles are pretty shitty, to be honest. Trey Turner, I think, is a decent guard. Also, Kevin Dotson's solid guard. They don't have Pouncey there anymore. He's been gone for a little bit. So does it really matter the offensive line that they have rolling out, even if it is another backup tackle with the way that Big Ben's been playing? I mean, he looked absolutely atrocious this last couple weeks, and it has carried over from last year. He's stagnant in the pocket. Is there anything in this offense that worries you? The run game, the receivers at least? Are you concerned at all, Paul, going into Sunday's matchup?
Well, we saw this, you mentioned it, the Green Bay Packers defensive front had a very nice performance against San Francisco. I think 22 pressures, they were good against the run. They're going to have the opportunity to build off of that performance against the Steelers offensive line, which might be the worst in football. They just drafted Najee Harris out of Alabama in the first round, but as a unit, the running backs are only averaging 3.2 yards per carry. That's the worst in football right now. Big Ben, he's getting the ball out of his hands the second quickest rate among quarterbacks because he has to. They are dialing up quick passes to get the ball out of his hands because, again, this offensive line is struggling to hold up against pass rushes. So this should be, even without Za'Darius Smith, another opportunity for this Packers defensive front to build off of last week's performance, as I said. But even though Najee Harris has struggled in the run game, and not him specifically, it's tough to run when your guys aren't blocking for you, we need to keep our eyes on him in the passing game. He had 19 targets last week alone, caught 14 of them for 102 yards. So it's going to be important for, again, our Packer linebackers, Devondre Campbell, who has really taken a number of fans by surprise with his play. He's just always around the football. He's leading the team in total tackles, and we know that can be a hollow stat. We've seen that from Packer linebackers in the past. Tackle totals don't always mean a whole lot. But with Devondre Campbell, he is around the football. He's given up 15 receptions this year, but his pass catchers they're averaging less than 5 yards per catch. Again, he's around the football. He's going to need to do that again this week. Chris Barnes for the Packers, he left last week's game with a concussion. He's questionable. Was a limited participant in practice last 2 days. Hopefully he's going to be able to go because, again, this linebacker unit against Najee Harris, especially in the passing game, filling the run, that's going to be important. And there is, as we saw, there's a drop-off in talent going from Chris Barnes to Ty Summers or Oren Burks. So hopefully they can go. And then Chase Claypool as well. Big Ben, I mean, you mentioned that this is not the Big Ben of past years, folks. His arm is not the same as it used to be. He has 3 interceptions already. But Chase Claypool, he has been one of his favorite targets. We've seen him make some fantastic plays during his NFL career. So just someone as well to keep our eyes on.
Absolutely. I think last week even Deontay Johnson was out. He's a go this week. So you have Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool. If Claypool goes and Deontay and Juju, who are both battling through injuries, they were full participants on Friday. If they're fully healthy, I do think there's some matchup issues there, especially if Kevin King's Not playing with that concussion, I think that's a problem. I wonder too. Those 19 targets of last week, I wonder how much that influenced the Ben Roethlisberger, that stat, getting the ball out of his hand. But I think that's the only way they can win, right? They have to get the ball out of his hand or do a almost like a max protect, throw it up the Claypool, let him go get it. Deontay Johnson, I think he's kind of a deep ball guy. Juju's kind of that underneath slot dude, short yardage. So I don't really see. I think Najee Harris is a great player. I think it's unfortunate that he's a rookie, and I think he's got the highest usage rate now out of all the running backs in the league, if I saw that stat correctly. Like, that's a lot to be putting on a rookie running back in an offense that frankly has not a great offensive line, has a 39-year-old quarterback, and really in a first year offense with Matt Canada, with the as being the offensive coordinator, he was the quarterback coach the previous year. Like, it's just a tough spot for the Steelers, to be honest. Like, they have to rely on this offense, this defense and the special teams unit so much that I just don't think, unless they really blow the doors off on defense or special teams, I don't see how they can win this game, even if they are completely healthy. I expect the Packers pass rush to get after them. You mentioned the Niners game last week. I think the Niners have a really good offensive line. Steelers definitely being in the bottom five. So I would expect, even without a Za'Darius Smith, them to be able to get the pocket, have Kenny Clark blow some people up like he did last week, get those guys off the edges flying around. And I expect a Packers victory. Is there anything else you're looking at, Paul? I mentioned special teams. Is that concern you at all? Chris Boswell's pretty damn solid. I feel like Steelers always are first forcing turnovers or at least making some big plays in the special teams game. Anything we got to look at for that as we get down to the 325 game?
One other thing I wanted to add about the receivers, because you mentioned them, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, that's a really nice trio. But if the Green Bay Packers are able to stop the run against this Steelers team that has struggled without having to do a lot of extra, if their defensive front can handle it, even with a strong trio of receivers, that makes life easier for the secondary. Knowing that it's going to be, or knowing that your defensive front on their own can handle the run, you're able to devote more men to taking away those guys in the passing game. So that is a good group of receivers, but something to keep in mind as well is that if this Packers front can win on their own, slow the run game, it's going to make the Steelers one-dimensional. The Packers aren't going to have to necessarily devote Devondre Campbell or Chris Barnes to playing closer to line of scrimmage to help in the run game as often. So that can play a factor as well. But it comes to special teams, I'm just hoping that the Green Bay Packers don't give up another big return. They seem to be at least trending in the right direction. I know that was a backbreaker before halftime last week, but if you've listened to or read any of the quotes from Maurice Drayton, the special teams coach, the one thing I'll say is, he seems like a guy that you would absolutely play for. Just the energy. He's a quote machine. He has a ton of one-liners that I've absolutely loved so far. So he seems like a guy that can rally the troops, that the guys would go out there and want to play for. And two really cool stories that came out about the special teams unit quick. Last week, after they gave up that big return, Al Nazard went up to Drayton and said, "Put me in, because we can't have that happening. Put me in." And then this week, Maurice Drayton also talked about how Devondre Campbell doesn't have to, he's not expected to, but he sat in on every special teams meeting this year. And then when Chris Barnes left the game last week with a concussion, it was Devondre Campbell who stepped in his place. He's been in the meetings, he's prepared, he's ready. So I absolutely loved hearing those two stories. And I think that, I know, it's tough seeing the big return given up, especially with the history that the Packers special teams unit has. But I like to think that they're trending in the right direction. Oh, one other story as well. The 49ers special teams coach, on that kickoff after they scored and took the lead, he said that they booted it through the end zone because they were nervous about kicking it to Kylan Hill. Again, when's the last time Green Bay's had, a returner, a kick returner, who actually put a little bit of fear into the opposing special teams unit? So you got guys like that who are willing, Lazard, Devondre Campbell, to step in. You got Kylan Hill on kick return. Maurice Drayton, a guy who brings the energy. I think that they're headed in the right direction. Oh, and we have a punter.
We do have a punter. Bohorquez is pretty damn solid, man. He has got that accurate boot, and I think he's put those things together, and it's awesome that he's our punter at this point. I think the Lazard story was very, very common. I didn't hear about the Devondre Campbell one. I love to hear that. That's fantastic. Like, I think Devondre Campbell finally took I think a primetime game for him to be a little bit highlighted for the Packers and to have, you know, a good outing and for that people to be like, hey, this is another dude. Like you said, could be a shell of just being a, you know, a high tackler, but I think just the energy and the veteran presence he's been bringing to this team is fantastic. And obviously guys like, you know, guys like Devondre Campbell are playing for a dude like Mo Drayton, and that's fantastic to see. So let's get into some predictions. The first prediction I have though, Paul, I'm going to ask you 2.5 times over or under that they mentioned the TJ Watt, Kevin King potential, I guess, draft. Do you think that happens in this broadcast, or is that going to be more of a Twitter thing blowing up throughout the game?
That's a good question. If Kevin King was playing, you smash the over every single time. But he's not playing, so his name might not come up more than in the beginning. However, I'm still going to go with the over. Got it, right?
I love it. I love it. You almost have to. Like, I don't know if
I need to be Jim proven Nance, wrong first.
Yeah, I don't know if Jim Nance, Tony Romo are going to bring it up, but it'll definitely make its way at least one time. Like, they'll show Kevin King on the sideline after, you know, TJ Watt has a sack or at least some crazy play. So yeah, you say you're smashing the over. I like that. Speaking of odds, the Packers are favored by 6.5 points as of now. I think that's a reasonable score. I think the Packers are definitely able to score more than 7 points. I think it could potentially be a two-score game. Right now, I have the prediction. I'm going with 28-14. That might be a little bit low for the Steelers. I just don't feel overly confident. I think they maybe squeak another field goal in there, but I'm going to stick with 28-14. Packers get another W. I went with that prediction yesterday on the Final Dump podcast via Game On Wisconsin. This was obviously, that was recorded before MVS was officially out. Zadarius has been out, all these other injuries. So I don't know if that impacts it all too much, but I'm going to go 28-14. Paul, where are you falling on this Week 4 matchup for the Green Bay Packers?
So I have the Green Bay Packers winning this one. I'll go 27-17. So we've heard talk about, you know, coming off that huge win against the Niners and then possibly this being a letdown game. Now, of course, that talk hasn't been amongst the Packers, but those on the internet, Twitter sphere, all that stuff. I actually tend to think it's going to be the opposite. I think that game was, to quote Aaron Rodgers from a few years ago, the galvanizing moment. I think that they're going to go on a little run right here just because Rodgers talked about it. Every year, a team, no matter how many of the same players you bring back, they need to learn how to win. I think that was their moment for them, that energy, and I think that carries over to this week. They're also going up against the Steelers, like we talked about, an offensive line that's really struggling. The game of football has changed a lot over the years, but it's cliche, but ultimately games are still won and lost in the trenches. I think the Green Bay Packers will be able to control the trenches on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, it's not going to be as easy. Like I said, TJ Watt, they have some strong edge rushers there. But we saw last week Green Bay come up with a formula to slow down Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, and some other, you know, Niners pass rushers as well. So I believe that they can do that again. They're also the home team. Going to take the Packers, like I said, 27-17.
I like that. I'm staying cautiously optimistic. I don't think it's a letdown game. I think, like you said, galvanizing moment for the Packers last week. I think a lot of fans went in pretty nervous, especially with Elgton Jenkins not playing. They look damn good, man. They really, really did, and I hope they can carry that into this home crowd and get some momentum. So we'll see what happens. I think the Packers get this W. Hopefully they limit the turnovers because I think that's the only way the Steelers have an opportunity. I think the special teams unit will have to make something happen also for the Steelers, but let's just limit the mistakes and come out with another win and head into Week 5 versus the Bengals. You can find Packaday Podcast on Google, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM. You can still ask Alexa, as Andy says. Follow us on Twitter, on Facebook. Andy's still on YouTube putting out the daily video series, which has been fantastic. He's had some really great guests on recently. You can find me on Twitter still at Matt_Frey_. That's at MATT_FRA_. You can find Jason Perrone, who was not, unfortunately, with us today, at Jason PERONE on Twitter. Paul, where can everyone find you and all the work you're doing?
You can find me on Twitter at Paul_Brettel. That's BRETL. And then you can find all my work at Dairyland Express and Cheesehead TV.
Paul, I hope we get to record next week with Jason, barring any setbacks in both of all three of our personal lives. It should be a great, great game for the Packers this weekend. I will actually be there. I'm pretty excited to get that. Hopefully I don't get too wet when I'm out there, but you know, a couple of adult beverages usually calms whatever sort of weather situations going around me. So for Paul Bredel, Jason Perron, I am Matt Freilich. You guys stay well, be safe. If you're watching the game, enjoy the game. If you're there, come say hi to me. But for everyone in Packer Nation, our friends from Norway, Canada, and beyond, as always, go Pack, go.